Please be seated. I was having coffee one time with the priest I had growing up. We were discussing, well, my family. My family can be intimidating, is not quite the right word, but you are definitely aware when we are all present. And he was discussing sort of the differences between my siblings and I, and got to the end of whatever he was saying and looked at me and said, "You are sort of the most obedient one of your siblings," which I'm not really sure what that means, but it's kind of true. We were raised in my family with what we have all come to understand as an appropriate understanding and appreciation and degree of willingness to follow rules and what is expected. As we have left the family home, it is increasingly obvious to all of us that not everyone shares our understanding of what the appropriate level is. But I definitely am slightly more tractable than my siblings. Which means that I hear the lessons today, and really this whole chapter in Matthew, with two ears. One side that says, that's not going to happen, because I was raised in my father's household and with my brothers and my sister who, we don't just follow rules because they're rules. And with another ear that says, well, I can probably do that because out of all of us, I'm the most likely to follow the rules just because they're the rules. I pity my parents who had to raise us. It was quite the experience, I'm sure. I've been telling you for the last couple of weeks that this chapter of Matthew, the fifth chapter, the Sermon on the Mount, is Jesus going back to the laws that have always been a part of Judaism, well, as long as they were writing down laws anyways, and reinforcing them and sort of rationing it up a little bit. So much was expected of you, and so much more is expected, really. Which means that this is hard. This morning we hear some of the law that Jesus is referencing, and the law he certainly knew. Jesus was a good Jew. When you harvest your fields or your vineyards, leave the corners for the poor and the alien. Do not swear falsely. Do not slander. Do not swear on the name of God. So are things we have heard before and things that we sort of know are good things to do. This is, to some extent, the way we know we are to live. And that makes us uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable long before we get to Jesus, who turns all of this up and makes it harder. Because we know we don't actually do this. One of the things the last 20 to 50 years have given us is a study of how we interact with artificial things. Part of that study says that there are sort of this scale of artificial things, and there are the things that are very clearly artificial, and then you sort of move up the scale and things become more and more lifelike. But for a long distance, we know that they aren't actually real. And then, sort of on the very other end of the scale, there's that which is exactly lifelike. We look at it, and it is impossible to tell if it is artificial or if it was natural, part of what's created around us. It turns out that most of the scale we're perfectly fine with. When we can look at something and we know that it is supposed to be a stuffed cat, we like that. We know it's supposed to be a cat, we know it's not actually a cat, and that's perfectly wonderful in our world. And on the other end of the scale, when things are exactly lifelike, when we're looking at other people or at other animals or those things that manage to exactly duplicate what it is to be a creature, what it is to be alive, we're perfectly comfortable with that. But there is this gap, this space between what we know is sort of imitating what it is to be alive, but what we also know isn't, and what is, in fact, perfectly lifelike. And in that gap, we are very uncomfortable. We don't like things that fall in that gap at all. They disquiet us on some level that we can't really articulate, and plenty of scholars have and will continue to spend their careers trying to figure out how to articulate that. Today, we have heard the laws of God, the ways in which we are supposed to live, and this is coming after several Sundays of hearing these. We are disquieted because we know that we can come very, very close, but we can't quite do this. When we are honest with ourselves, we know that we can't quite do this long before Jesus turns everything up and makes it a little more challenging for us. We know that we don't do this well. We fall not on the far end of the graph where we can, in fact, be perfect and holy as the Lord our God is. And it gets harder because we also know what it is to be sort of worse off than we are. We can look at human behavior, and it is, at the end of the day, human behavior in places like the Ukraine right now, where horrible things are happening and being done to people by other people, like Venezuela, which is not in our news as much, where horrible things are happening, being done to people by other people. We can look at that behavior and we know that that is not what we are to be. And as unhappy as it makes us, it's at the same time familiar. We know that we do that and we would like to stop. And we know that we really could do better than that, perhaps. But we also know that even when we do better than that, we are not perfect and holy, that that is somehow perpetually beyond us. That as much as our desire as members of a community, that our goal as Christians is to be good and perfect and holy, to be Christ-like, we don't succeed. We really almost never succeed. In the history of faith and in the history of the world, we know plenty of examples where we have failed and failed utterly and miserably. And our tradition gives us a few examples when we have come closer than we usually do. In Christianity, we remember these people as saints and martyrs, those whose lives and stories we tell and tell and tell to ourselves in the hope that we might get that close. But we don't. Even when we get closer, we don't actually make it all the way to holy and perfect. We live in that gap between obviously not succeeding in being good and managing to be perfect and holy. We live in that gap, and it disquiets us. We are uncomfortable with who we are and who we are asked to be because we live so close to that most of the time and yet not there. However, we have lived in that gap as people for millennia. We have, in our tradition, 5,000 years of records of people living in that gap, of hearing the expectations of God for us, and of failing to meet them. We have a long, long history of what life looks like in that gap, the life where we come together in the hopes that we will be better than we know we are, and living with the disappointment that other people are not better than they are either. This is humankind. This is human community. This is the church in that gap. Be holy and perfect as the Lord our God. We don't succeed. On our good days, we try. On our bad days, we can fail miserably. The miracle is not that we have made it that far, that we can live in that gap where we are so often close to holy and perfect. The miracle is not that some people have made it further, our saints and our martyrs, those whom we uphold as ideals, as goals, as the best of us. The miracle is that for 5,000 years, God has loved us as we live in that gap, that in that space where we are disquieted with ourselves, where we are not sure of what we are doing, but quite sure we could do it better. In that place, God meets us and loves us and continues to hold out hope for us. This is the good news of the gospel. Amen.